circuses on the air.
The president doesn't.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.I.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
Good morning, Mr. Schwann.
Ah, yes, good morning.
The transfer of power has happened once again.
Now, Roger's laughing at me. Yes, the peaceful transition of power.
Always peaceful.
The
always
peaceful transition.
Yeah. Oop, yellow, what happened? Yellow.
What was that?
I don't know what happened. Excuse me. a little audio clip there jumped in. I've got a load of history stuff today that you are just going
to
love.
Okay.
And I got a lot of cool clips too. All right. So 1452, the first book was published. And of course, it was the Bible.
Mr. Gutenberg.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Written in Latin. The Gutenberg Bible is an edition of the Vulgate, printed by...
I was just going to say, Vulgate Latin. That is correct.
That's right. Printed by Johannes Gutenberg in Mainz, Germany in the 1450s. 48 copies, or substantial portions of copies, survive, and they're considered to be one of the most valuable books in the world.
I wonder if that was print on demand for the time.
I bet it was. Look at how that comes full circle.
Because somebody walks in and says, Herr Gutenberg.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
We'll get it to you in 6 months.
Eine Buch.
Yeah.
It is said.
But I find it fascinating that there's like four dozen of these still, you know, existing out there.
Yeah, there still are some. And you're right. If there were only, you know, 48 or 50 made 500 and some years ago, it is quite amazing that, you know, there may be a few still messing, you know, that are still out there.
I have to look to see
probably
where
they're in a museum or something.
That's what I was going to say, where they are. Yeah, yeah. Probably a museum. 1855, Isaac Singer patented the sewing machine. It was invented by Barthelemy Thimonier in 1830. He was almost killed by enraged French tailors because they felt threatened by his invention. I bet they
French
did.
French tailors.
French tailors. Them. Yeah, yeah. 1916, John D. Rockefeller becomes the first billionaire in history. He was, of course, founder of Standard Oil.
And he was also, you know, someone who was not a fan of Theodore Roosevelt in the Supreme Court when the antitrust laws were all upheld. And, you know, he had really a monopoly on things and then was forced to break it up.
And so supposedly as a child, he announced that he was... he had two great ambitions in life, and it was to earn $100,000 and to live 100 years. And he fell short of the lifespan. I think he was 98 when he passed away.
He was, he was in his 90s.
Yeah, and I think he made over a billion.
I think he made a little over $100,000.
He did. He definitely achieved those goals. Great goals for a little kid to note for himself.
We should also point out that, you know, the reason we have Rockefeller Chapel down at the University of Chicago and other things like that is because his son was a very philanthropic person and did a lot for universities and communities.
Across the country.
Across the country,
yeah. And then, of course, the fabulous Rockefeller Center in New York City.
Rockefeller Center,
which are the NBC building behind us here. That building emulates the Rockefeller Center.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, it looks exactly like it. Yeah.
Now that you mention it, I can certainly see
right?
that. Yeah, it makes sense.
Intentionally that way. Yeah. Yeah. Huh. 1921, first World Series radio broadcast. The Yanks beat the Giants 3-0. It was put on KDKA in Pittsburgh, WBZ in Springfield, and WJZ in Newark. Those are the three stations that carried it.
Wouldn't you love to hear some audio from that?
Yeah, yeah. I always look, you know, we were just trying to look for audio or video from, and this is, we're talking about 1921. This week is the anniversary of the first Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and there's no video of that first show.
No.
For some reason.
No.
It's only audio, and the audio is even really nasty. So we picked something from this first 3 months that we'll play in a little bit here. 1922, the former Chicago Stanleys play their first NFL game as the Chicago Bears. They win 6-0. And of course, where do they play, Dave?
Wrigley Field.
Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
Which still surprises, especially, you know, a couple of younger generations.
That they played there.
That was their home base for...
Yeah. And I've got friends of mine who are older than I am, by about maybe 10 years now. You know, as teenagers or young adults went to Bears games at Wrigley.
Yeah.
The pictures are amazing to see how the field is laid out,
yeah.
You know.
And how the sign changed. So the sign, they would turn, I believe they would turn around the sign, because right now it's a two-sided sign like it's always been. But they have a vintage sign on the back of it that you can see through the seats. You can see just the top of it if you look toward the scoreboard while you're in the – or in the scoreboard, the marquee, while you're inside Wrigley Field. You can see the vintage look of it on the other side. But I think they just flipped their sign around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, Roger is asking which radio station used to broadcast Bears games.
Well, we did.
Us.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course we did. Yeah, and I think we might – well, we're working on getting them back. So we'll see what happens.
Jack and – Irv Kupsinen.
Oh, that's right.
Was one with Jack for a long time.
And I believe Irv introduced Jack to Pat.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
His second wife, but yeah. Introduced the two of them at the club or the restaurant that had the booth with the phone in it. It is the, what am I thinking?
Pump room?
The pump room. Thank you.
Booth number one.
Yes, that's where they met. Yeah. Isn't that funny?
That's great. Yeah.
1936, radio used for the first time for a presidential campaign. The Democratic candidate was FDR. Republican was Alf Landon,
right.
Governor of Kansas,
who
never had a chance, by the way.
No.
No.
Not in night. And in fact, none of them did all through
right.
FDR's career as
yep.
president,
yep.
even in 1944 when he won again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. 1938, 1945. The Cubs clinched the NL pennant both of those years. Didn't win the World Series, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
1942, Little Golden Books began publishing. Nearly 15 million copies of The Pokey Little Puppy have been sold.
I wonder if Gutenberg printed those.
Yeah, I never know. You never know.
I had Little Golden Books, and there were yeah. Little Golden Book records.
Yes, there were.
There were little. They were yeah. 45s, you know, the 7-inch
yeah.
45s
yeah.
with a normal spindle hole in the middle of them, but you know, they would have a nursery rhyme on them and a little music.
Yeah, my wife collects Golden Books, and they're right now in transition from my daughter's room to my son's room, but we've got hundreds of them.
You probably have. I was just about to say I would be glad to give you some of mine.
Look,
if they're
you.
In a closet somewhere at my father's
is that right
place.
Okay, but, all right. They're classic.
If I come across them, I know where to go.
Yeah, that's lovely. You know, and I tell you, every time there's a new, even when there's a new movie that comes out, I mean, you'd be surprised. Like Lego Batman has a Golden Book. Like, and so as soon as we get them, my kids get pretty. It's the Chicago Stanleys, by the way. I got
the
corrected.
Stanleys,
totally
yes.
correct.
Not Stanleys, the Stanleys,
which were the Decatur Stanleys. You are absolutely correct, Peter. Thank you for correcting me on that.
Roger's pointing out something here. Yes, sir. Back in the early 80s. He
oh.
says there was a Golden Book store at Woodfield Mall.
That's cool.
That's all they did?
Never knew
was
that.
Sell the Golden Books?
That's cool. I can imagine that. There was hundreds
was a demand
of
for it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
They were very popular when yeah. I was a young'un.
1945, Meet the Press premieres on radio first, hosted by Martha Roundtree, who was a pioneer broadcast journalist at the time. So it first became a radio show. It was right after it was TV. And if you're ever at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, which has the great new Saturday Night Live exhibit coming up, you can see the Meet the Press set from the Tim Russert days there. That was donated
really?
By NBC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah, because as soon as he
nice.
Passed, they changed the studio around a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
1947, the first presidential address televised from the White House. That was Harry Truman. 1950, the telephone answering machine was created by Bell Laboratories. And here's my only example.
This is Shirley from the bank. The answers are no, no, and yes. No, we won't loan you money. No, we won't accept any cosigners. And yes, your account's overdrawn. I get off at 4:30.
That's the only one I could think of that was momentous on some level. I love the Rockford Files. When I was a kid, I was 10, I think, when it premiered, and I just loved that he had a Firebird and lived on the ocean.
Yeah, how about it?
He was a cool dude.
How about it?
Cool dude.
It was a good show.
Very good show. A lot of TV premieres, because obviously we're in the fall season. So here's the list of shows. Make Room for Daddy, the Mickey Mouse Club. Let's take a little listen to that.
Oh, yeah. Gotta play that.
Classic.
Who's the leader of the club that's made for you and me? M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E.
Legendary children's show. Really one of the big first national shows that lasted for quite some time.
Yeah, they had reruns on when I was a kid.
And again in the 70s for me, too.
Oh, yeah. Did they really?
Yes, they did. Yes,
okay, because I was away at school at the time, you know, when you would be watching it. But in the 60s, you know, the Channel 9 would rotate between the Mickey Mouse Club, Superman, some other things.
Garfield Goose, probably.
Well, this would be on before or after Garfield Goose.
Yeah.
That was on every day, I think, 4:30.
But it was really, it was rerun for another 20, it was like on the air for 25 years. The originals, the black and whites.
Yeah, the originals.
Pretty well.
With Annette Funicello.
Yeah,
Who we can't forget.
Yeah, and the main guy. Who was the main guy?
Well, there was a Jimmy.
Jimmy, it was Jimmy. Yep.
And then there was another
older guy.
Roy.
Bigger guy. Roy, that's right. That's right, classic.
Yeah, Jimmy and Roy.
Make Room for Daddy also premiered. Alfred Hitchcock Presents did. Leave It to Beaver.
They're still running Alfred Hitchcock on MeTV.
Oh, yeah.
It's on really late at night, but it's still there.
1960, The Flintstones premieres, which was the first primetime animated show ever in history. So that was The Simpsons of the time.
Yeah, and then The Jetsons. I still get a kick out of watching Flintstones.
Oh, yeah, because they're the Honeymooners.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the Honeymooners.
No, it's just the transference of modern-day life into the Stone Age.
That's true. That's right. That's right. That's right.
And all the names, you know.
Yep. 1956, White Sox Jim Derringer, 16 years old, youngest to start a game, made his debut with the team. My Three Sons premiered in 60. On Howdy Doody's last show in 1960, Clarabelle, another children's show, finally talks and says goodbye, kids. Let's take a listen.
You can talk? Oh, wait, golly, I don't believe it. You can talk. Well, Clarabelle, this is your last chance. Now, Clarabelle, if you can talk, prove it. Let's hear you say something.
That was it.
That was the longest drum roll.
It was quite a buildup, wasn't it? Yeah. Quite a buildup on that. Yeah. 1961, The Dick Van Dyke Show premiered on CBS. Here is a conversation I had with Dick about a year and a half ago, talking about the theme and that there were actual lyrics to that theme, and he actually sings the song for me. Let's take a listen.
Now, Maury, and I know this because I've seen you perform with the Fantastics, your a cappella group, which we'll talk about in a little bit. He wrote lyrics to the show that were never published.
Never published. It's so sad. So we're spreading the word now. We sing them.
I know you do. I'm going to ask you. Do you got a little bit of that for us?
Okay. So you think that you've got trouble. Well, trouble's a bubble. So tell all Mr. Trouble to get lost. Why not hold your head up high and stop crying? Start trying, and don't forget to keep your fingers crossed. When you find the joy of living is loving and giving, you'll be there when the winning dice are tossed. A smile is just a frown that's turned upside down, so smile on that frown or defrost, and don't forget to keep your fingers crossed. And then I fall down.
That's fantastic.
It's the sweetest lyrics, and he never even mentioned it to anybody.
Sweetest and positive, like a really positive. That was fantastic, Dick.
Was that great?
We have to. Everybody knows lyrics to legendary TV shows.
Yeah.
We now have to make it our mission, Dave.
Yeah.
To ingrain these lyrics. Those are great.
Yeah, right.
And you can sing right along with it because you know the melody so
well. Absolutely you do. Absolutely you do. Isn't that fabulous?
Yeah.
And he only kind of brought that up in the last maybe decade or so that there were actually words to that show.
And Maury Amsterdam wrote them.
Classic.
Yeah.
1962, Johnny Carson hosts his first Tonight Show. Joan Crawford was a guest. Here's just a little audio just so you can give it a little taste of what he sounded like really in those first few months as a host of Tonight Show.
Now, as I mentioned, Peter Ustinov, you know, makes movies, writes movies, directs movies. He is a movie. Not really. So he was kind enough, I understand, to send me a recording that he had made of some of the Tonight Shows. Since I have been on, and it's from Peter Ustinov, and it's the best of Johnny Carson, which to me is probably the most thrilling gift. We've been on, what, 13
years? So a little Johnny Carson there. 1962, Lucille Ball premieres The Lucy Show. Now, it was supposed to be just a stopgap when Desilu was one of the biggest studios in Hollywood, but they had a really hard time after Lucy and Desi divorced with just a few shows on the air. So Desi said to Lucy, now divorced, just do a show for a year, just until we get back on our feet and develop some new shows. And it ended up winning a bunch of Emmys and was on for 6 seasons.
That's the one where Vivian Vance was the neighbor, right?
No. She was living with Lucy.
Oh, they lived together?
She was divorced and Lucy was widowed and they had kids in the house.
Oh, okay. I thought,
Mr. Mooney.
I always thought, well, Mr. Mooney, yeah.
That's right. The Lucy Show. Yeah.
Right, but I don't know why I didn't get that Viv was someone that shared the house with. I didn't know that. I thought they were neighbors.
I also believe she was the first divorcee on television.
Probably.
Yeah.
Because that was a taboo topic.
Yep.
Everybody was happily and blissfully married
television. That's true. 1979, Pope John Paul II began his visit of the U.S. 1982, first broadcast of Cheers. 1990, the Chicago White Sox beat Seattle 2-1 in their last game at Comiskey Park. 1995, O.J. Simpson found not guilty in the murder of Nicole Simpson and Ron Goldman. And, of course, now he's being released this fall. Let's take a listen.
All right, Mr. Simpson, would you please stand and face the jury? Mrs. Robertson.
Superior Court of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, case number BA097211. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187.
Yeah, people were shocked. Shocked in both directions.
Yeah.
And I remember walking down Michigan Avenue going to lunch when they announced that, and I could see the reaction of people on the street like they were on the phone with somebody because you really couldn't stream anything on your phone at that point, but you could hear somebody on the phone talk about it. But, yeah, that was... That was then. And then 2003, Roy Horn of Siegfried and Roy is attacked by one of his show tigers, canceling the show for good. 2005, the White Sox clinched their first division title since 2000 and become just the 10th team in the history of baseball to be in first place on every day of the baseball season. And 2008, following the bankruptcies of the Lehman Brothers and Washington Mutual, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 778 points, the largest single-day point loss in its history. We'll be back.